Welcome to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. In this series, Bishop Campbell hopes to present many subjects, including life in the Church, spiritual growth, our responsibility as Christians, and our individual vocation to holiness. From the Chair is intended to encourage our prayer life, to draw us deeper into a relationship with God, and to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. And now, Bishop Frederick Campbell.
Well, welcome to this special edition of From the Chair. I'm here with a group of students from The Ohio Dominican University here in Columbus. For this special forum that now, as I discovered, is in its fourth year of talking with college students about particular issues. This year, as I was thinking of this forum, I asked the students to consider a very general question about the relationship of ethics and morality to their education, and particularly to their higher education, what it means, how they are studying, how does it affect their lives. In preparation for this forum, I invited them to submit questions to me that we might consider during the forum. And I went through the questions. They're all of great interest and do touch upon the subject. Some of them are nearly dissertation length, and I don't know if we're going to be able to talk about all of the various aspects of the questions. But again, to those who are listening, I welcome you to this special forum and am excited to be able to begin with the questions that we have. So thank you. Okay. Here to the students, I will tell you I am grateful for your questions. As I read through them, I noticed that they were falling into certain categories. And I listed five of the categories I'm trying to group the questions around. One is the interesting question of, is a college degree necessary for everyone? Is it necessary for everyone to go to college? Another category is, what is the purpose of a liberal arts college specifically? A third one is the question of whether, in fact, education is principally oriented toward employment or getting a job, really. The fourth one is the meaning of morality and ethics, especially as it applies to life within the university. And the fifth one, the most general, but I think probably the most interesting for us here at Ohio Dominican, is, what is the uniqueness of a Catholic university? What makes it different, and how is that lived out? So, you know, having grouped those into it, why don't we begin by just having you, who prepared these questions, ask the one that you want to begin with. And as I said, you know, just mention your name, any question that you may have. Okay, let me ask you questions then. In your study, in fact, one of the questioners brought this point up. In your time here, you were asked, why did you come to college? Why did you come to the university? How would you answer that? What are the reasons that you gave when that question was brought up? You know, what is it? Oh, okay, thank you.
My name is Justin Cunningham. And the reason why I would say I came to Ohio Dominican University was because of athletics and also the business program.
Okay. Were you, what class are you in now?
I am a junior.
Junior. Were, in the 3 years or 3.5 years that you've been here, were your expectations met or did they differ? How did you change in those 3 years?
I would say they definitely met to my expectations, and I will also say that I've had to push myself throughout my years of college with the courses, and also I also had to change myself as a person as well, think beyond ways I thought in the past and such like that, and view things differently than I may have viewed them in the past as well.
Okay. Did you specifically invest yourself in questions of ethics and morality?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How did that change for you?
I would say that I had to definitely think to myself, how would my life be if I decided to stick along with all the hard work and such and work towards my degree versus if I just decided maybe just drop out and then just go ahead and start working full time at a minimum wage job and such like that. So I had to think of different outcomes. I think of different outcomes or the best possible outcome if I stayed and worked towards my degree versus the absolute worst possible outcome if I would have dropped out and such.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. Yes, Sam.
My name is Samuel Jones. I go to Ohio State.
Interloper.
When I went to OSU, well, actually, originally I went to the University of Tennessee, and I wanted to get an education in material science and engineering. My brother had gone into that field, and I really liked it when he taught me, and it was a way for me and him to bond. And so when I went to UT, I was really all about learning about material science and seeing how I could make myself into a better person. But when I came to OSU and experienced a community in St. Paul's Outreach, I started to change from just wanting to make myself a better person as far as society was concerned, and I started looking at how I could be a better man as far as in the sight of God. Mm-hmm. And that was something that brought a lot of freedom into my own heart. And it's been something like when you finally find something that's bigger than yourself, there's like so much more fulfillment there.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you. Anyone else want to offer? You know, as you may know, I spent a good portion of my life in the academic world. In fact, I had been in the classroom in some fashion or other from the age of 4 to the age of 26 when I finished my work for my doctorate. And I remember that when I called my parents to announce the fact that I had received my doctorate, the only thing my father said to me was, "Now are you going to get a job?" And, you know, there is that very curious relationship between education as a preparation for employment and education as a preparation for living a full human life. And I will tell you that back when I was an undergraduate, I went to a 4-year liberal arts school, as most of my classmates did out of high school. We were not allowed to choose a major until the end of our sophomore year. We lived as a community. In fact, the word college means a collection, a community of learners. And it was very exciting for us. We all had to do work in philosophy, the natural sciences, mathematics, and history and literature. And it was a common language we created. And what was surprising is at the end of the 4 years, companies would come to the campus to recruit. Now, of course, that was then, and this is now. And a lot has changed, especially as a society we grow much more technologically savvy and dependent upon it. But let me ask you, and this question came up a number of times. What is the difference between morality and ethics? It's there's an important difference here, but how do you think of it? Or do you think of it? Yes, Erica.
Hi, I'm Erica. I also go to Ohio State. In my ethics of teaching class, we learned that morality is like a personal view, a value, and ethics is more like being able to defend your actions.
Well, it's a little more precise than that.
Okay.
Now I'm going to talk about it, but of course it comes from the fact that I was trained in philosophy in a somewhat ancient mode. But morality is that set of obligations and commandments that are considered essential to living an authentic human existence, especially in our relationships with others. The Ten Commandments, the two great commandments of Jesus. Ethics derives from the Greek word ethos, which indicated a kind of atmosphere, a culture, the way people live together, how they see the world, what do they expect, how do they shape their lives, what is the meaning, for example, of honor, what is a good life. And in that fashion, ethics is the larger environment in which we live out our particular authentic lives. But, it's something, and it came up in the questions. Morality and ethics are not simply individual realities. Morality is objective. And ethics is an objective reality, although larger, I think, than morality. Pope Benedict XVI used to tell people, Christianity is not, first of all, a set of commandments. Christianity is an encounter with Jesus Christ as he revealed to us not only God, but us to ourselves, what it means to be human. And so there's that ethic reality of how Catholics see the world, how they live, how they conceive of their future, their expectations. So does that resonate with you, the difference between morality and ethics?
I like that better than what I learned in class.
Oh. Well, thank you for that. Well, let me go back a little while because this touches upon ethical realities as well. One of the questions that came up was whether, in fact, a college degree is necessary for a fulfilling employment. Oh, Sam again, yes. You've been thinking, haven't
you? This is a question I think comes up a lot in my conversations with a lot of my friends is, do you need to go to college to actually live a happy and fulfilling life and to be able to provide for your family? I think it's a complicated question for sure, but I don't think that college is necessarily necessary for a happy life. And the reason why I say that is we've been a nation that's not always been going to college. In East of Eden, it talks about Sam Hamilton's son, who couldn't decide what he was going to do with the rest of his life, was going to go to college because he couldn't figure it out. And so they were given a little bit more time, whereas the rest of his brothers ended up going into what they were going to do for the rest of their life. They were tradesmen. And so I think there are certain jobs that you don't need to go. And so, like, why waste time and money to go and get a higher education? But then that doesn't, just because you don't go to college doesn't mean you don't continue to learn and make yourself more knowledgeable about the world. And I think that that's one thing that people equate college to, is learning more about the world. But if you look at, there's a good movie, Good Will Hunting. Will Hunting is a man who is self-taught, and he goes and reads books, and these books teach him all about the world and philosophy. And so I think that, I don't think it's necessary to go to college, but it can be something that the people or the world makes.
Okay. Well, I think that it touches upon the question of how do we as a society conceive of education? What is its purpose? If its purpose is tied to particular types of employment, and then our expectations are going to be different from the sense of education as a way by which to understand what it means to be a human person made in the image and likeness of God. So I think we'll take a break there and maybe come back to that question when we reassemble. But thank you.
Most of us can recall a childhood memory of innocence and a peace that only comes from God. Yet with our busy schedules today, many families don't attend church weekly or spend much time teaching their children about God. So many families now are burdened by financial and family challenges, substance abuse, and other worries. But there is hope. Studies show that people who pray regularly and practice their Christian faith are less stressed, financially stable, more compassionate, optimistic, healthier, and happier. Experience a positive difference in your life and for your family by coming home to your parish. Learn more by visiting CatholicsComeHome.org today. Here you may find answers to your questions and discover how Jesus and the sacraments will bless your family. There's no pressure or risk. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Do it for your kids. Do it for yourself. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
I've heard the complaint many times that people in ministry should stop talking so much about chastity and just focus on more pressing social justice issues. But anyone who's worked with young people knows better than to make that false distinction. Well-documented studies show that the younger a teenage girl gives up her virginity, the more likely she is to live below the poverty line. Teenage girls who are promiscuous are 6 times more likely to attempt suicide, and boys are 2 times more likely to suffer from depression. 25% of college students graduate with an STD. People who wait until marriage almost double their chance of a happy marriage. And according to a study of 14,000 teens, those who were abstinent in high school were 60% less likely to be expelled, 50% less likely to drop out, and nearly twice as likely to graduate from college. We can't pretend to care about things like justice and poverty if we don't care about the purity of our young people. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
Hi, I'm Mike D'Andrea of Miracle Motor Mart. Please keep us in mind for your next automotive need. We have 2 locations in Columbus, north at the intersection of Morse Road and Cleveland Avenue, and east at 5100 East Main Street. Our east location also has 6 certified mechanics and a full parts and service department. We have around 400 vehicles on our website at MiracleMotorMart.com. Our goal is to provide great prices on low mileage lease returns at pricing that is about half of new. With interest rates as low as 1.9%, your savings will be huge. Don't pay too much for your next vehicle. Go to MiracleMotorMart.com and see big savings with our friendly staff. With 26 years of service to our community, you'll love joining the Miracle family. Call us at 614-337-0037 to reach both locations. Let us show you a better way to buy a car.
Lord,
Serving you is my greatest joy. Help me to become as compassionate and caring as Jesus. Help me to share your love for the sick and poor with kind words and acts of charity. Help me to live your gospel, especially among those separated from you. Walk beside me now and always. I promise to do your will always until the day I come home to you and all the saints in heaven.
Hi, my name is Ashley Gray, and I am a freshman at Ohio Dominican University. Welcome back to the College Student Forum with Bishop Frederick Campbell on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Hello again. As we took our break, we were talking about the purpose and direction of education and how, in fact, our idea and our expectation of education is going to greatly alter what education does for us, what we think it will do, and how it touches upon ourselves as human beings and not simply as, I like to call them worker bees in a vast economic hive. Because I'll be honest with you, and I know this is being recorded, but I think that if, in fact, we direct education entirely toward employment, toward jobs, we're going to have a fairly well-trained group of worker bees in a large economic hive that are spiritually and intellectually bereft. And that worries me. Describe to me here at Ohio Dominican how, in fact, the courses that you take, the experience you're having educationally, how is it impacted by the concern for larger issues such as the meaning of human life, what it means to be a human person, aspects of right and wrong? How do you experience that in your everyday life here in the college?
My name is Justin Cunningham, Jr. at Ohio Dominican University, and I would say that in my past courses, I have taken leadership courses, and also I have taken business and society courses that have actually made me think of morals and I have to think about my morals that I have myself. I've been put in like different scenarios to actually test my morals to see if I would actually stay true to them or if I would fall away from them. Also, in my leadership courses, has also taught me not only to be a good manager in business, but also to be a good leader in society as well. I would say that there have been courses that I've taken that have taught me more about the Christian faith and more the Catholic faith as well. It's given me opportunity to look at more as just something that I've always grown up with, something I was always just told to do. But I learned more about certain rituals and stuff like that and the true meanings behind them.
Okay.
So I have a better understanding and I'm more connected to my faith and such that way.
Okay. Well, thank you. It occurred to me that there is another issue that is involved when we discuss education as a process of personal and human development as not necessarily opposed, but is different from education as oriented toward a particular kind of employment. And when you are thinking of a particular career, what kinds of factors go into your choice of that career? What kinds of things are you going to ask yourselves as you look out and choose a career?
Yeah. Hi, my name's Andrew Sturgill. I'm a senior here at Ohio Dominican University. Okay. I'm a late student. I came to college in my 30s. I already have a career. I've been blessed to be to have a good career, and I'm adding to that by doing something that I want to do. I'm an education major, and I just found that being around students, I found it through coaching athletics, that being around young students, high school students, brings a lot of joy to my life. And at first, many people in my life didn't understand why I would get a job, because teachers are not greatly paid usually, but I'm a business owner, so financially I've been very fortunate, and a lot of folks didn't understand why I would take a job that made less money, but I wasn't leaving my other job. I was just adding and enhancing my life with joy that I would do, because I just got enjoyment from being with the students, if that makes sense.
Okay. Any others? Does that resonate with you, or yes, over here?
Hi, my name is Alyssa Lunsford. I'm a sophomore at Ohio Dominican now. This is actually my third year. I started as a social work major, and then I decided that wasn't what I wanted to do for my career, and I'm now an education major. After my first semester, I did some field placement, and that definitely like reassured me that this is what I want to do, because I loved being around the kids. I loved the energy and just doing something that's still helping, even though it's not necessarily about money, but it's what I want to do.
Okay. See, one of the aspects of this question I'm trying to get at is, are you choosing a career that you think you're going to be able to get a fairly well-paying job, or are you choosing a career for which you have a real talent, or is something attracting you to it?
My name's Andrew. I'm a senior here at Ohio Dominican University. To answer that question, I'm a quote guy. And one of my favorite quotes that's actually on the desktop of my computer right now is from John Wooden. And it's like, it says, a great coach can change a game. A good coach can change a game. A great coach can change a life. Mm-hmm. And kind of like that's why I chose to do what I did, because I feel coaching and teaching are kind of synonymous with each other. So that's why like money was not motivated at all for me to come to school.
Could I ask for a kind of a sprinkling of... Okay, go ahead.
My name is Hassan Varence, and I'm a freshman. I'm a sophomore at Ohio Dominican. And for me, when it comes to deciding whether it's money or interest or talent to decide a career, I want to pick a career that can be both, because I want to also be able to support my family as I get older and whatnot, but I also want to be able to enjoy the job, because I don't just want to do it just to do it and get by. I want to be able to, like, get up every day and actually be enthused to go to work and every day and whatnot.
Right. Thank you for that. Can I ask for just a smattering element of what are your majors? What are you majoring in?
Hey, it's me again.
Yes. Go ahead.
At first, I was a psychology major with a criminal minor, but I flipped it around and became a criminal justice major and a psych minor.
Okay, thank you. Any other? Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Federico Gonzalez. I'm a triple major here at Ohio Dominican of business administration, finance, and criminal justice and criminology.
Okay.
And I think, like, for me, there's no choice of like either liking your like future job or not, especially with the cost of education. You have debt, loans, and you have to pay back. So unfortunately for me, I chose money for me so I could pay back the loans, because I don't come from a wealthy family and anything like that. So
yeah, that's a real factor now, isn't it? The cost of the education. Yes.
My name is Shamar Wall. I'm a junior here at Ohio Dominican, and I'm a double major in business, marketing, and sales, and graphic designer.
Okay. Well, let me ask you some particular questions. Is there anyone here who has majored in philosophy? A minor in it. What about literature? English literature? History? Mathematics. Physics. Biology. Now, as a pre-med? Okay, thank you. You see, I asked that, and I've got to tell my radio audience that as I went through that list of majors, which were the really only 5 of the 11 majors in my undergraduate school, only 2 or 3 of you raised your hands. And the majors that you're mentioning are more the service majors, the technological majors. And I remember reading a comment that was made in a book that was wildly popular back in the early 20th century by Oswald Spengler. He called it The Decline of the West. Now, a lot of that book is pure hokum. But he wrote so much, he was bound to say something that was true. And what he said was, you can tell that a culture is declining when the brightest people go in only to the technical fields. And there are no longer writers, historians, philosophers, poets, great speakers. And it's something that I think is worth considering here. And especially when we come to talk about the meaning of a liberal arts college, and especially a Catholic liberal arts college. Because it is not that the college can't offer you an education that will allow you to get gainful employment, but it's rather what it offers you as a preparation for life and placing that vocational preparation in the large context of what it means to be human. Why do you do certain things you do? Are you pursuing something that is valuable and really a gift for others, a good for society, support of your own family and so forth? So, you know, have you thought of these larger issues? Yes, Sarah, Erica.
Hi, I'm Erica. I'm a junior at Ohio State, and I'm studying music education. A big factor for me in choosing music education was actually that, you know, people grow up and they're told to be human doings, not human beings.
Right.
And I think music really offers a lot to people. It's a chance to see the beauty in the world and to take a step back from all these things you have to do and just to be and to be together and be working for something bigger. And I think that's so important, and I think it's such a tragedy that music and the arts are getting cut from schools.
You know, eventually, at a certain point, I think you're going to have to ask yourself, what gives me a lasting sense of accomplishment? What gives you a lasting joy? What will you carry for the rest of your life in and through retirement? What are you going to offer a new generation? What really excites and draws your attention? And I think, you know, liberal arts education does exactly that. When I was an undergraduate, you know, after graduation, we knew we were going into different fields. But at that time, the companies that were hiring had their own training programs. And what they wanted was people who could read, who could think, who could communicate, could write well. They would train them in the particular technological talents they had to develop. Now, of course, that has crept down into the undergraduate world. But it's still, how do we express our humanity? And in a Christian setting, how do we express it in a profoundly Christian way as we work? Now, there were a couple of questions that dealt with the question of ethics and morality and how we express them, how we come to discover them. Cameron Brandon, are you? Yes. You asked a very interesting question. Do you remember what it is?
Yes, my name is Cameron Brandon. I'm a freshman here at Ohio Dominican. I'm a sport management major with a minor in business administration. My question for you would be, how do you think that morality and ethics are essential in college study?
Yes, thank you for that. You know, sometimes we think of morality in ethics as simply a set of rules. Say we have 100 rules. If you're fulfilling 70 of them, you're passing. If you fall below 70, you've got to check that. But in fact, morality and ethics is a kind of language of how we live with each other. And there is a profound morality and ethical standard in education. For example, are we honest to the work that we do? I mean, this involves some simple things like cheating or plagiarism. I've often said that I would hate to be on an operating table and just before I went under, the surgeon telling me, well, got to admit, I cheated my way through medical school. That's not a great encouragement. Or being in court and telling your lawyer, telling you, yeah, I didn't really make it through law school, but let's hope for the best. But there is, on that simple level, on another level, there is a kind of commitment we make to learning and to doing what is true. Not just getting by, but there's really that basic moral commitment to do what is true. And Cameron, you asked in your question that I think it is hard to study someone else's morals and ethics because you might not be able to relate with that particular person or situation. And I again, you know, morality and ethics is an objective reality. But there is another virtue that is important to learn, and that is the virtue of prudence. That is how you apply what is objectively true to particular situations. And a prudent person, Thomas Aquinas said, prudence is the first of all virtues. And a prudent person knows what is right, but he knows how to live it in particular situations. And that is part of the morality of education, learning to do that, making proper choices. But I insist that morality is an objective reality. But living it out is a matter of prudent choices, how to do that. So I think that we're going to take another break, hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Thank you very much.
This is a Young Catholic Minute. Why do I have to follow so many rules? Last week, I made some cookies. Shut up, guys can make cookies if we want. Anyway, I didn't want to follow that oppressive, rule-oriented recipe anymore. So instead of a cup of sugar, I substituted a cup of arsenic. The cookies were pretty terrible, but they illustrate a very good point. When we ask why we have to follow rules, we're really asking if we can trust God. If God is a tyrant who uses rules to oppress us and ruin our lives, then yeah, why would we want to follow those rules? But is he giving us rules to prevent us from being happy? Or is he giving us the perfect recipe for happiness? When we understand that God wants us to have life and have it to the full, we can start living like he wants us to. And we won't need rules anymore. For more, go to youtube.com/youngcatholic.
In the Chronicles of Narnia, Mr. Beaver describes Aslan in these words. "Aslan is the great lion." "Oh," says Susan, "I thought he was a man. Is he safe? I'd be nervous meeting a lion." "Safe?" says Mr. Beaver. "Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you." We like to tame Jesus with images that make him so mild, he's almost boring. Maybe we do that because we prefer a God who doesn't actually challenge us. But Jesus walked on water, appeared before his apostles in dazzling light. He told dead people to get up, and they got up. He's mighty. When you pray, don't hold back. Got dreams? Ask big. Angry? Yell to God. Got doubts? Tell him. Feel like a mess? Surrender your life to God. He can take it. He's bigger than you. He's the king, I tell you. This is Chris Stefanik from reallifecatholic.com.
A prayer for our listeners. Father in heaven, send forth your Holy Spirit as springs of living water to renew and refresh the listeners of AM 820. Redeem our lives and free us from the past so all is made new as we live out the holiness we are being called to. Give us a hunger for your word and for prayer so we will be everything you desire us to be. Steep us in a baptism of love so we are secure and aware of our dignity as the children of God. So on fire with love for our God, we are equipped for the work that lies ahead. Draw us into that intimate union with the triune God that will satisfy our deepest longings and give us a hope that cannot disappoint.
Hi, my name is Sam Hickey, and I'm a freshman at Ohio Dominican University. Welcome back to the College Student Forum with Bishop Frederick Campbell on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Okay.
Well, thank you. As we took our break, we had been talking about the proper role of morality and ethics within education and what it means. And you just heard from Sam Hickey, who introduced this section, and I want to draw attention to the question he had asked me that I have in front of me. Without a proper and well-rounded education, do you think it is difficult for a person to live a fulfilling and authentic life? My answer is yes and no. It's according to what you consider education, but let me ask you the larger question. How do you define a fulfilling and authentic life? If someone were to ask you, what does that mean to you? Yeah, go ahead.
My name is Tom Varens, and I'm a freshman at High Dominican. I mean, a sophomore at High Dominican.
Yeah.
For me, like, there are different opinions to what a fulfilling and authentic life is. For me, it's simple, just being a hardworking American, supporting my family, and just doing what I love to do, which is basketball.
Okay. Any others?
I'm Ronnie Williams. I'm a junior here at Ohio Dominican University. My major is business management, and I feel like fulfilling your life is something that everyone wants to do. I feel like it takes a lot of hard work, like Hassan has said. It takes a lot of hard work and dedication. And like, even though there might be like stumbles along the road, you just have to stay persistent and consistent with whatever you're doing to get to where you want to go. And fulfilling it is just by doing all the right things and not letting the wrong things like bring you down.
Okay. Well, you're talking more about a process, but let me ask you, since we're in a Christian setting, what for a Christian would be a fulfilling and authentic life?
Hi, I'm Sam Jones. I go to Ohio State. I think, for me, what I've experienced, I think we talk about objectivity. I think objectively true is someone who's a Christian claims to follow Christ, and part of following Christ is bringing people to meet Jesus and helping them to know the person of Jesus, not just the idea of who he is. And so I think, objectively speaking, a truly fulfilling life is one following what God has for you, because he wants your happiness and your joy more than you want it yourself, and bringing people into that race that he's invited us to.
Okay. You know, marvelous French poet once said that the only tragedy in life is not to be a saint. Now, of course, we think of sainthood as some kind of mysterious thing off in the ether and whatnot, but it is a life that is lived for the purpose of goodness and the reality of truth. And it is also an intellectual joy. You know, there are some aspects of our education that should just rejoice in our mind, just knowing it, learning it, digging a little deeper. Not asking ourselves as the first question, how can we use this? But the first question being, what is this? Is this true? Is it good? And rejoicing in that. Otherwise, our work that we do is going to be simply toil and not creative if we don't ask those kinds of questions. Well, I come back to that again. Ask yourself, you know, what is an authentically fulfilling life? How would you want yourself defined? How do you define it? In it, you know, the ancient philosophers always told us the unexamined life is not a life, and it's a pursuit of something greater. So, but what makes a Catholic education unique? What is the difference between a Catholic education and something you can pick up down the road? I didn't say High Street. Just down the road. Okay, have you considered that? Yes. Oh, here it goes. Yes, Dan.
Dan Dowler. I'm a member of the adult and continuing education community here at Ohio Dominican.
Very good. Is
so
that
I'm,
a distinct
not actually looking
group?
After a degree.
Okay.
That was actually part of my question, too. One of the things that I've noticed in being here at Ohio Dominican, I've received a degree in previous life, and I came back for some more information on the Catholic theology teaching. And one of the things I've noticed is that there is a high amount of non-Catholics here. I've met Jewish students, Muslim students, quite a bit of multicultural, multi-ethnic personages. And it always, I guess one of my questions is, how do you teach a Catholic, a true Catholic religion to someone who may or may not buy into the Catholic faith?
Okay. Well, there are two aspects to it. One is that if you begin to talk about the Catholic character of education, you're talking about its ethical reality, the ethos that it has. And a Catholic attitude toward education is based on certain very firm ideas. One is that ultimately there's one truth. It is multiple in our experience, and we come at it according to various fields. Obviously, the way that a mathematician would seek truth is going to be different from the way that a physicist will seek truth, or that someone who is studying history would see. But ultimately, in spite of these many different ways, there's one truth. And there is a unity in it. There's an integral reality to that we can know. Secondly, there is truth. Certain things are true, certain things are false. And it's part of our life to ascertain that truth. And thirdly, there is a common understanding of what is the destiny of the human person. And that destiny is eternal life in the Godhead. And that is where we are being drawn. Now, that creates the ethos. On another level, there are particular things that the Catholic Church teaches that are ways by which every day we live out that reality. But its sense of education is critical, that ethics. And when you deal with some secular realities, and a secular reality that is not simply not going to take any stance on any religion, but is actively afraid of the life of faith, then it creates difficulties, because then what is the purpose? I always ask myself that. What is the purpose of what we are doing? And that's why in our secular world now, that refuses to raise these issues, except in a clandestine way, the emphasis in education is on getting jobs, because then you'd never have to ask the hard questions in education. And ultimately, what that is going to do is create out of people a group, a mass of spiritually bereft serfs. And this can be really troublesome. So that's what makes, I think, the Catholic sense of education so unique. It is there because everyone in that class is not a potential financial advisor or a banker or an engineer. Everyone in that classroom is a human person. And that human person is called upon to develop themselves according to the vocation they have in the God who is the source of all truth. Do you sense that in your education? Be honest with me.
Hi, I'm Mary Hammett. I'm a student here, a freshman.
Okay.
So I have graduated from two other colleges, and when I'm here, I can tell that people care about my soul,
okay,
and that is more important than
great
if you can get a job. And it's it feels strange to feel that,
mm-hmm,
and that for me is like the wrong part. Right, and it should feel natural that someone
right
cares about your soul. And one instructor said, we're going to start our day with a prayer, and this is a Catholic school. That's how we do it.
Yes.
So that's never happened before.
But. Yeah, that I suppose in some settings that might be shocking. But yeah, it's just the natural sense of it. I'm glad to hear that from you. Because it is the atmosphere of a place and not simply the techniques that are being taught. There should be at the end of, well, I don't know, do most people still graduate after 4 years? Do they? Good. Because at the because at the end of 4 years, you should be able to say to yourself, I have a much deeper understanding of who I am. And that is the source of my sense of my esteem and my dignity. It'd be great if you can get a job that immediately starts you off as at $100,000 a year. Or is that a lot anymore? I don't know. Yes, sister.
Well, you know, thinking about the students here, and this is my fourth year. And I know there is a big thing about, you know, getting a job and having enough money to pay your debts. But my experience with the students has been following them through their years. And I have really experienced them reaching out to other people,
good,
being concerned about the common good, and really having a deep spirituality, whatever their faith is.
Right.
And that gives me much encouragement. So I think it is going on. they may not have a lot of philosophy majors, but yet they are being taught that in other ways, I guess.
Right. And learning, I hope, to articulate it as well. Okay. Well, very good. So, there's still some issues, I think, that are important, and it's that one about how, in fact, do we affect the world around us. Once we leave the undergraduate world, and we're going to meet a world in which sometimes we'll find rather shockingly callous towards some of our deepest understandings and realities. How do we negotiate that? How do you consider your role in the wider world once you leave these ivy-covered walls?
My name is Justin, a junior at Ohio Dominican University, and your question kind of bounces off the question that I have for you, actually. Since in the past, laws haven't worked for segregation and such like that, and since it's been a thing that's been born in our culture and just stayed in our culture for years and years, do you think that church leaders should unite to try and end segregation, what do you suggest might put an end to segregation in the U.S.?
Well, of course, it's always going to be a challenge given our nation's history to do that. And I think that the way we begin it is by, again, concentrating on that fundamental aspect of all Christian faith, and that is the essential dignity of the individual human person. That was the revolution that Jesus Christ introduced into the ancient world. And that, I think, is the beginning of that reality. You know, the question I asked about how do you deal with the outside world came from, Mary, Hammett, you ask a question about the secular paganism of the world. Yes, you did. But, you know, you call it a secular paganism. That's an injustice to the pagans. Because the pagans were believers. The problem with paganism is there were too many gods. But they believed in a world, a spiritual world beyond that. They believed there was something greater than themselves. The problem of secularism is that there is nothing higher, and that the only reality is our human life, here, now, limited, and how to make sense of it. Well, it eventually ends up in a profound sadness. And I think one of the ways by which devout Christians can challenge this is simply by the joyful way they live their lives and the recognition of what is true and the living out of it. John Henry Newman once said that personal holiness is irresistible to others. So, my friends, I thank you for being with me for this special forum. Thank you for your questions. Continue to do that which is good. Pursue the true and live a beautiful life. God bless. Take care.
You have been listening to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. Join us each Tuesday at 5 p.m. for From the Chair with Bishop Frederick F. Campbell.